This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. I am Matt Bungard, and with me today, Nick Campton. Hello.
Hey, everyone.
And joining us once again for part two, AAP's Scott Bailey. Welcome.
I'm back, baby. What's doing?
Not a lot, mate. We have found a winner in the Bailey Conference, and if people care, they can go back and listen to part one. And you probably should if you haven't, because you won't really know what we're doing. But we're on to the Campton Conference today, Nick.
We are. We are. Only one Raiders team in the Campton Conference, and they lost. So that's not great.
It was the one with the majority of Raiders appearances.
There weren't many options, Campo.
Yeah, that's true. But before we do that, we've got to have our play-in game. So if you listen to part one, we had nine teams on that bracket of eight. We did a last final cut between two games that were right on the bubble, and we'll be doing the same here. And it will either be 2006 when the Broncos beat the Storm, or 1998 when the Broncos beat the Bulldogs.
So we grouped these two teams together for a couple of reasons. I don't know why, but none of Brisbane's three premiership wins in the NRL era, none of them get talked about as sort of classic grand finals for whatever reason. Like 98, they were very clearly the best team in the league, maybe the best team of the NRL era. And the Dogs gave a good account of themselves for the first half, and then the Broncos just totally blow them away. 2000, which is not on our brackets, is widely regarded as probably the worst grand final of the NRL era. And then 06, while a titanic achievement in beating an incredible Melbourne Storm side, don't think it's one that people talk about as being sort of a classic encounter. Brisbane fans, quite sadly for them, have been on the end of some all-time grand finals, but I don't think they've ever had sort of like a wonderful, incredible, brilliant grand final win.
It's quite interesting like in terms of
the quality of the game.
Yeah, because we've had, there's a litany of Brisbane and Melbourne triumphs in this period, and very few of them are actually, apart from the ones that they lost, very few of them end up being competitive fixtures, Scott.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. Like, Brisbane's two losses, I would argue, are the two best, or very close to the two best grand finals. We'll find out if one of them is later on in this episode, I guess. But they're very close to the two best grand finals. And for similar reasons, Brisbane's let a lead slip and they don't control the game the way they should. They're going to their shell a bit. But as for their wins, like 1998 and 2000, and maybe it's a little bit of the fact that it's so long ago that we're all reasonably young kids at that point, all in primary school, so maybe it sort of fades into our memory a bit, but neither of them really stick out for memorable moments. 1998, as you mentioned, is a far better game than 2000. 98 is probably a bit better than we give it credit for, given
Losing at halftime.
Yeah, the Bulldogs are like actually properly in that game, which I think a lot of people forget in hindsight, just because it's such a comfortable scoreline. And if we're being honest, like we mentioned the 2014 Bulldogs last week as a team that, maybe the worst grand final team of this year. I would argue the 1998 Bulldogs. I know they have the miraculous run, but they finished.
They did fight their way into the grand final from ninth.
Yeah, which has some question marks around the.
You think the McIntyre system is convoluted?
Oh, that whole system.
The 10-team final series that they had in 1998. It is like,
well, isn't there a outrageous year where there's like literally games that they know in advance are meaningless and they play them anyway?
97. That's when the 7-team final system that the ARL had.
Yeah.
So as much as Bungard likes to poo-poo the McIntyre system, I want him to know it could always be worse.
That's true. It could always be worse. Shout out Shane Martini, who started in this game for the Bulldogs.
Shout out Gavin Lester, who also did.
Oh, mate. There's a lot of what about this bloke on this Bulldogs team. But they're two of the greats.
They do give us one of the great finals moments, which is the Paul Carriage moment the week prior.
If we were doing a bracket of finals games, the 98 prelim is probably right up there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not. It's
incredible. Serlo's absolute.
Oh, my God. The visceral disgust in Peter Sterling's voice.
It. Hated it.
That was the best.
So 98 has a lot of nostalgia for me because it's the first grand final I remember watching.
Oh, wow.
It's, the last one at the Sydney Football Stadium. and it's the first of the NRL. So there's like a real sort of passage of time thing going on through this whole game. But I think 06 is the pretty clear choice.
Oh, 100%.
Just because even though the 98 Broncos, they might be the better team overall, I think the 06 Broncos beating the Storm is a titanic upset, a massive upset, you know. And so I need to look back on it and now and say that, because 16 of the 17 Broncos players played Origin and or Test football. The only one who didn't was Shane Perry. So this isn't like, you know, some scrappy band of underdogs who just got all together. This is a really great side.
I am also going with 06. So let's save all our 06 chat for the matchup itself. Yep. Otherwise, we'll just be repeating ourselves. So I'll run you quickly through the bracket in the Campton Conference. Now, again, these were not seeded in any order. It was completely random. So we got the first through eighth in order. 2019, 2016, 2015, 2003. What a murderer's row. 06 now in that fifth slot. 2010, 02, and 1999 in eighth spot. Again, this was completely random. And that means we're going to start by talking about this 2006 grand final up against, in my opinion, a game that could go all the way here in 2003. Now, I think you might be right. The 2006 grand final is a little bit better than people might remember, but 2003 is absolutely iconic, Scott.
Yeah, but can I just firstly ask before we analyze, what are your thoughts on the team on a grand final win, the play-in match, and then coming fifth in the rankings?
I don't think it works, but Bungard couldn't be talked down. Okay. So that's the way
I'm just going to make 2 points for you real quick. So the only other thing that has play-in games is March Madness, and they often have teams that are not the 16th seed having play. Like, it's two play-in games to get like the 13th seed or some bullshit. And the second one is, you both agreed that if we ranked them in order of how much we like them, that this entire exercise is a waste of time. So if I just put it in eighth by virtue of the fact that it's least popular, having it in a matchup at all is pointless, which was the point I tried to make to you.
2003 is an interesting game because it was hailed as a really good grand final almost as soon as it happened. Like, as soon as it happened, people were talking about it as one of the greats. But I feel like it's not sort of held up on that level as more and more time goes by. And I'm not sure why that is, because it's absolutely terrific. Like, you talk about sustained physicality, sustained tension through the match. You talk about, like, I think it's maybe not as high quality a fixture as we might remember. This is another game that I watched not that long ago.
Mm.
But in terms of intensity, to me, it never wavers. Like,
no.
We talked a lot about 2004 in the previous episode. What you guys liked about 2004, I think, is so much more present
in 2003.
And then you throw in, it's got, I think, the best grand final performance
ever by a
player,
Luke
ever. Like, over the 80 minutes, I think Luke Prittis had the best game any person's ever had in a grand final. And you've got the iconic Scott Sattler tackle.
Yeah.
And you've got the culmination of the Penrith fairy tale going from fucking nowhere the year before to minor premiers. And even as minor premiers, no one believed in them. Heading into the weekend of the preliminary finals, Penrith were fourth in betting. You know, even though they were the minor premiers and had been the best team nearly all year, they were still somehow the underdogs.
Well, they were 7-17 the year prior.
Yeah.
And then they make it all happen. So, well, 03 is going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it in a couple of ways there. I agree with you. I think that perhaps, especially with 2023 now behind us, that maybe Cleary's performance in that game at its peaks was higher than we've ever seen, but over 80 minutes. Because remember, people were saying Cleary was absolutely horrendous in that game after about 55 minutes. Prittis, 80-minute performance, the best I've seen. That pass he throws for that try, ridiculous. And, yeah, the Sattler moment I still think it's the iconic grand final moment of our lifetimes. It's the one that's most replayed. It's the one that's most talked about. And everybody, even people that were too young to remember it at the time, still remember it. And it was a Penrith team full of likable guys. And you mentioned that no one believed in them. Only Prittis had played in a grand final before. The rest of these guys had never got to that height before, but it was a super fun team. Guys like Reece West, Ryan Girdler, Preston Campbell, like, just awesome players.
The Hair Bears, Marty
Lang running it off the back fence. And this is actually Scott Sattler's last game for the Panthers, and he has that iconic moment. And of course, they beat the Roosters, which just sweetens the pot even further.
You did say on our South Sydney 2003 show last week that Chris Walker losing this grand final was one of the best nights of your life.
It was. He had an absolute Barney in this one too. They tormented him all night. They got to him both mentally and physically. And I'll never forget this game. I watched it with my grandparents at their house. And even then, at that young age, I think I was what, like 12 or 13. I remember thinking, I think I said to my nan, I think that's the best grand final I've watched, and she agreed. And she's seen a lot more than I have. Scotty, what do you remember about this?
Yeah, just everything. I think everything you guys just said. It's funny, right? Like, I reckon this is a grand final that's gone in a wave. Like, so as Campo mentioned, after everyone spoke about it being a great grand final, then it was almost like a bit like Penrith, right? Like, it was almost forgotten about for a while, like through the late 2000s, early 2010s, has been like, oh yeah, that game was okay. And then because of Penrith's success in the last 3 or 4 years, this game has been replayed a lot, you know, as far as grand final weeks go. And every time you watch it, you're just like, holy shit, man, what a game. Like, this game is so much better than I think the scoreline suggests. I mean, the scoreline suggests it's close, but this game is so much better than the scoreline suggests. It's Luke Prittis about it. There's the tight tussle it is the first half. Like, I think, genuinely, I think this is going to be very hard to beat. So I imagine we're going to keep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and I just think that like emotional release from the crowd when Rooney scores that last try, when they know that that's it. It's just
what minute
there's
is that
so at? Many, that's... 73rd.
Yeah,
so there's just so many great moments in this one. Sorry, Campo.
So 06 is kind of on a hiding to nothing here because...
But let's talk about it a little bit.
We'll have plenty more rounds to talk about.
Against 03, almost against any grand final, because I think for the Broncos to beat the Storm in this game, they had to muddy up the waters a little bit, which they successfully did. But it also means that the quality of the match can't quite rise to those sorts of levels. You know, like, I don't think 06 is as absorbing as 03, even though the scoreline's a lot closer and the Storm are in it like pretty much the whole way through. I think just because of the style the Broncos had to play to win that game, it just sort of puts a ceiling on the match in terms of quality, which is an unfortunate trade-off in a tournament like this. But I don't think any Broncos fan would give a shit. Like, you know, because winning the real-life game is more important than winning the stupid podcast game.
Does have another world-class hooking performance by Sean Berrigan in 06. He was fantastic. Justin Hodges at fullback was a masterstroke, by the way.
Fullback is great. Like, Slater has so many half-busts in this game. He has a one where he goes down the short side and goes into touch as well just before halftime that doesn't matter too much. But he has a lot of big moments in this game. I reckon two things about this game. Firstly, it's the first non-Sydney grand final or no Sydney teams in the grand final, which I actually does think has a... Like, having been there, to me, it's 6 hours a game. That's
well, it didn't sell the stadium.
It's close to the worst atmosphere I've heard for a grand final. The Penrith Melbourne in 2020 for different reasons, but that's very different reasons. I don't think there's another grand final in my memory that has a
worse atmosphere. Scotty, there's only two games since they moved it to Homebush, excluding COVID. There's only two games where the attendance was lower than 80K, and it was this game and 2017 Storm Cowboys.
So. Yeah. And I think that sums up. But at least 2017 Storm Cowboys, there was the hype train of the
fairy tale story until the game starts and they get the shit kicked out of them. But
yeah, but you know what I mean? There's at least something there. People like
and Ricky Lee sang the national anthem. So, you know,
wow. Nova 969. What a time. but you know what I mean? So like 2006 lacks a lot in terms of atmosphere. And I remember walking away from that grand final, like just pretty empty about it all. Cause it just was like, but watching, like when you look at it, like the battle between Slater and Hodges, but it's also like that grand final was effectively the great Queensland side up against each other in a grand final, which is the only time we get that. You know, and at the time we probably didn't realize how big that was because that's the first year of the great Queensland side. But for the next 9-10 years, the guys who are playing this grand final dominate representative football and the NRL realistically for the next 10 years, right? So there's some marks for it there. It's also part of Darren Lockyer's incredible 2006. Of
course, Shane Webke's last game too.
Shane Webke's last game. So there's actually, I think there's more to like about the 2006 grand final than everyone realizes.
Yeah.
You know, again,
it's not winning this.
It's not winning this. The end.
All right. We're waving 03 through, Nicholas.
Put it through.
All right. Next up, we have third V6. I think this one is going to be another cakewalk because the third seed is the 2015 grand final. And the sixth seed is the 2010 grand final, which I attended because Souths were in the Toyota Cup grand final, which they lost.
let's not to, like 2015 is going to win this, obviously. So let's not talk about it too much. Let's save that for later. I was also at the 2010 grand final. And Scotty, I think this is an interesting contrast to 06 because this was the first all Sydney grand final in like 6 years, I think.
Since 04, sorry. Yeah, correct.
And because of that, there was a lot more hype around this going into the game, which obviously was not sustained through because the Dragons were much, much better than the Roosters. But it was a great vibe through the week that I remember. It's probably the first time that I remember like experiencing grand final week, not just
I agree with that
the day of the game itself.
Because
the
think
game, is... go on.
Oh, sorry, I think this is the first year I was working at Fox, like in sports media properly as well. So like it was just a different vibe to things we've had before. And yeah, I just remember being this whole week the builder, and we had that amazing prelim between the Dragons and the Tigers the week prior as well. So there was a lot of build-up in this.
It's a very good final series, this one.
Really?
Yeah, apart from the Roosters dog-walking the Titans. But other than that...
Yeah, okay, yeah, I've forgotten that part of it. But, I mean, you've got the Roosters, Tigers on the first week of the finals, and that's also the Penrith-Canberra night. That's one of the best nights of finals footy is those two games back. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's a very good final series, that one. But we're not ranking final series. We're ranking grand finals and...
And it's kind of like the Roosters had to sort of hit form at just the right time to get through, and in the grand final the Dragons just sort of ground them down into dust. Shout out to the Roosters fans that still complain about Brett Morris being in touch in the lead up to that first try.
I have an unnamed
They've only won a billion premierships.
I have
since,
an unnamed
yeah, that
friend
one,
to this day who still one. Curses Jeff Eunice every time Jeff Eunice is the sideline official at a game he attends.
It ends up being a smash up. The Dragons win.
But again, the Roosters are winning
eight.
At halftime.
That's gonna say they're up 8-6 because Anasta and Mitch Albison scored tries in pretty quick succession in the first half.
I don't think anyone was ever really worried though.
No.
And like there's things to like about this, you know. I always really like the moment of Dean Young and Craig Young at full time.
Yeah, that is nice.
You know, it's nice that the Dragons were able to shake off that choking tag that had really followed them for quite a long time leading into this game. But yeah, look, for me, it just doesn't have it. And it's going up against 15. Of course 15's going to win.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about 15 later. But yeah, the Dragons really, really reached their nadir in 09 when they get bundled out in straight sets by the eighth-placed Eels, and they have to, by the quirks of the McIntyre system, go to Brisbane to play like the sixth-placed
Broncos.
That's
not the McIntyre system's fault. That's the NRL's venue.
Okay.
You know what? It's the Dragons' fault.
For not winning.
Just win the game. Just win the game. You're the minor premiers. Win the game. It's not that hard.
I will say... My only wrinkle with this game was I feel like this should have been the first and only time that a winger won the Clive Churchill. I thought Jason Nightingale deserved it. Thought he was awesome in this game. But oh well, doesn't really matter.
It shouldn't have been Darius, but I would have given it to Jeremy Smith. But you know, what are you going to do about it?
Not much, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wave 2015 through to the next round, which we will talk about in a future round. Any all good? Yep, great.
Yeah.
I think there's another smash up coming, I think, with the second seeded 2016 Sharks over Storm against 0-2, the Roosters beating the Warriors.
Another game that isn't talked about the way it should be because people hate the Sharks.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
This you know, I mean, I at the time, and I still honestly believe this, I believe that from a football point of view, this was a better quality game than 15. I feel like 15 reached a height at the end of the game in terms of excitement that 16 didn't get to. But I feel like over 80 minutes, the 2016 game was a higher quality match.
Well, we can talk about that if they meet later on.
We can.
The crazy thing to me is 16 is, I think it's underrated in terms of twists and turns.
Yeah.
You know, so the Sharks are right on top all through the first half. I think they're up. Are they up 8-0 at halftime or 6-0 or something? Storm don't really look in it, but then the Storm slowly graft their way back into the match. And when Will Chambers scores that try, I thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
Like I had like after the first sort of 20, we're like, oh wow, the Sharks look really just, they look like they have a dynamic quality that the Storm don't have, but the Storm just hung around. And when Chambers scored, I was like, I can't believe that these pricks are going to somehow do this, that they're going to show the resilience to get this done. And then you have the twists of the Fifita try, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Chambers bombing the try that would have won them the grand final. Like, I remember when he gets that ball and when he kicks it, I was like, no, what are you doing? And then he got it back and I was like, oh my God, it's going to work.
I thought they had numbers on that last play of the game.
Well, yeah. I'm getting there. And then it's like Chambers is straight back to, no, what are you doing? And then in that last attacking raid, they could have scored twice. There's two very specific instances. The one where they're spreading it to the left and Cameron Smith goes to Chase Blair and the pass is just a little bit in front of him. If it was on his chest, Ben Hampton could have scored in the corner and won the premiership for them. Instead, he doesn't quite have the room. He goes back inside to Cameron Smith. Smith's got Vunivalu fanging towards the post, calling for a kick. There's no fullback there because play's totally broken down. If Smith had kicked it, I think Vunivalu would have got it and scored and ended up winning the grand final for them. But that didn't happen either. And then the end result of that is the Sharks winning their first ever premiership. So yeah. I think people remember sort of like the physical intensity of this game, and I think they remember the Sharks winning. I think they forget about the twists and turns of those last few minutes. This is one of the real underrated grand finals of our time to me.
It's enthralling. And yeah, we've talked a bit about Clive Churchill medals in a couple of the previous ones. This to me is the biggest robbery. And with all the stuff that was going on off the field, we all knew that there was no chance he was ever going to win it. But this is right up there with Luke Pridis and Nathan Cleary to me as the best a player's ever played in a grand final. And Andrew Fifita had games. He had that one Origin game as well where you thought this guy's the best prop we've ever seen. And he didn't do it every week, but when he was at his absolute best, he was close to unstoppable. And you can also make the case, Scott, that it's the best grand final try ever. You can also make that case.
The surge of momentum that goes with that try and the 50 years of misery that had been for Cronulla and frustration and just I know that when, you know, as Campo rightfully illustrates, that when he scores that try, it doesn't necessarily mean the Sharks go in and win the game, but there's all of a sudden it feels like there's 50 years of outpouring of emotion goes when he gets across the line. Do you remember Fui Fui Moimoi scores one in 09, doesn't he?
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah, and they kind of, those two tries really stick out in my mind as being similar. Like this, just a prop running at the line. And like, even though there's still maybe 5-10 meters from the line or whatever, when you look at it, like you're like, there is just no way in hell anyone is stopping that guy. Like, they could literally get 13 men on him and he's going to score this try. There's just so much momentum about what he's doing. And they're both really stick out in my mind on that. So when Fifita scores, Sharks at the front, 50 years of misery or frustration sort of gets expunged at that moment. Like, it's expelled that moment. It's huge. And like I said, I touched on last week in that 2004 debate, I love a grand final that goes down to the last second or the last play at the grand final. And we see that in this game here, which instantly puts it right in the top.
Okay. I think this game's going through, which means we're going to lose 2002. So let's talk about that game a little bit. Again, it's another game. It's so weird how often this happens in these games that end up being blowouts where it's really close at halftime. This is another game where it's on a knife's edge going into the break. It's 6-2. And then the Warriors take the lead, which is still, you talk about forgotten plays. That Stacey Jones try is one of the best grand final tries ever. It's up there with that Cody Walker. It's very similar. Like that Cody Walker try also gets a little bit forgotten because about what happened later in that game too. But that Stacey Jones try is incredible. He just steps through the Roosters line, beats the fullback, and off he goes. And then it all swings on such a memorable moment with Richard Villasanti and that cheap shot on Brad Fittler-Kemper.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny, I feel like in the moment, this grand final seemed to have a lot of iconic moments, like the Jones try, like the Villas anything. There's a Freddie 40-20.
Yeah, 40-20
as well
is actually
that a lot of people have sort of forgotten about. But then I think it just sort of got lost to time a little bit for whatever reason.
Plus the next three grand finals are so memorable as well, 03, 04, 05.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to remember this was a really big deal for the Roosters. This is their first premiership in...
Since 75, right?
27 years, which is an unfathomable drought now that the Roosters have sort of become what they've become in recent years. But yeah, it's just, they're almost penalized for putting on those three or four late tries. Like say, instead of it being 30-8, say it's 12.
So they kick the 40-20, Craig Wing scores, and then there's no more points. We talk about this game entirely differently.
I think we do. So they're sort of, they're penalised for their own brilliance.
You were two good Roosters.
So the three late tries to flip Fletcher, Flannery, and Fitzgibbon, that's tough to say. That kind of, that kind of just takes the takes the air out of it a little bit, which and isn't I will say fair, this is how it is.
This is Camp. Also, when we did a draft the other week of halftime shows or pregame shows, Billy Idol was rightfully the 1-1 pick. And this was the grand final with the move, maybe, the cancelled Billy Idol.
Maybe he's the real winner of this one.
He loves this footy.
He does. He's just waiting for some power.
I will say that Billy Idol's the best, man. If you're feeling sad, chuck some Billy Idol on. You'll feel better. Scotty, really? What do you remember about this game?
White, yeah, wedding, I reckon... White Wedding makes you feel better?
No, but like Moni Moni does.
I reckon like the Villa Center hit on Freddie, which is funny, right? Because it turns into such a turning point in the game, the momentum of the game that we talk about. But like theoretically, it should be the other way around. Like it should be what boys, you know.
Well, it's you think about back to the James Graham, Dave Tyrrell thing.
Yeah.
That's the moment that sort of galvanized the Bulldogs a little bit, and then they had their little period in that 2014 grand final where they nearly get back into it. But it's the complete opposite effect here.
But I do think, like Campo touched on, the 40-20 from Freddie in the lead up to the Craig Wing try is actually, I would argue, it's not the it's not the highlights moment, but I think that is actually the moment that swings the momentum in the game a lot. Hmm. And also, I actually think this is a real, like this is a real shining light for Freddie's career, isn't it? Like he has a bust in the first half as well. I'm trying to remember if he lays on one of the late tries. I can't remember, but this is a
He does. He puts the kick in for Flannery.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I think this is a, like, when we talk about like the great players having great grand finals and big grand finals, like this for mine is a Freddie one. And yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Matty. Like the next three grand finals are all great grand finals, and you know the Roosters aren't exactly the most loved team in the world by people who aren't Roosters fans. So this one's kind of glossed over a bit.
This team is ridiculously good, though.
Yeah, it's a great team. And, like, you know, the Warriors are actually, like, Warriors are a great team in 02 as well. Like this is a proper, I know, you know, another part of the gloss taken off this one is that the Bulldogs aren't eligible to win it, but and it's a, you know, for that reason,
it's a sick Warriors team too. You're right.
Yeah, but it is. So, like, I think 02 should be held in higher esteem than what it is, but
yeah,
it's not winning this.
All right. So, let's, yeah. Waving 2016 through, Kevo.
Send her through.
All right. And last up, I could be swayed either way on this one. We've got first V8. This could be our Warriors Storm moment. The first place 2019 grand final versus the eighth placed 1999 grand final.
Okay. So I might be a little bit biased about 2019.
Do you reckon?
Maybe just a little bit. Well, it's actually a hard one for me to evaluate.
Yeah, of course.
As a match, not just because of the Raiders are in it. But it's the only grand final that I've never watched again.
Yeah, exactly.
So all these other grand finals, even the ones that didn't make the bracket, even the shitty ones, I would have watched five times minimum. I haven't watched 19. So my memories of the night are kind of all I've got. But my impression, and you guys can tell me if this is right or not, my impression of it is I think it's quality as a match, and I think it was an extraordinarily high quality and intense match. I think that all gets overshadowed by the six again stuff. Yeah, I think
100%.
Yeah, yes. And because of that, I think its quality is actually lost to time a little bit.
Well, you don't get like the two biggest. Whenever anyone talks about this game, they don't talk about the Sam Verrills try. They don't talk about Latrell setting up Tedesco to win the match. They talk about the ball hitting the trainer. And they talk about the six again, and they talk about Jack White winning the Clive Churchill medal. That's the main talking points from this game, none of which are positives. Those are all negative things that happen. And I think those do hurt this game in a lot of ways. And I think the other
great
part
game,
of it,
great game.
It's a great game. But again, the other part of it is it's the Roosters again. We're so used to them being successful at this point. Had the Raiders won this game, we'd probably look at it. If everything had gone the exact same, but the scoreline was reversed, we'd probably look at it a little bit differently. But it didn't. And whilst this game was very close and it means a lot to me because it was actually the first grand final I covered at the ground in person. But 99, Scott, is still such a remarkable sporting contest.
Yeah, 99's incredible. So I think these two games are, again, actually, there's similarities.
There's nice parallels, isn't there?
Yeah. But, like, if I could speak about them, the two of them, right? So, like, together, like, for mine, the 2019 game is probably, like, as I keep saying, I like tense grand finals that are close throughout and you feel like any one moment could change where the premiership trophy is going. Mm-hmm. And if I was just to judge it on that, 2019 is that game because unfortunately, as we know, any one moment does decide that, and it's arguably the most controversial moment of this NRL year as far as grand final goes, or very close to. I walked out of, I did, in 19, I was lucky enough, I did the World Cup, the Cricket World Cup over in England. And I think I said this to you the other week, Camper. I walked out of the 2019 grand final with a really similar feeling to what I walked out of the 29 Cricket World Cup final, which was like, that was an epic game, but I feel so empty because I feel like the way that the
so team, did I, Scott.
That I feel like the way that the team won should not have been, like, it just wasn't right the way that England won on boundary count back in the way that Roosters won that game in 2019. So, and everyone talks about the six again call. I think the trainer call actually annoys me more because the six again call, shit happens, right? It's a bad call. It's like the bad moment. And Campo, yes, more, it's worse than shit for you, but like shit happens. But the one with the trainer getting hit and the Roosters getting the ball is such, it's how the NRL had not fixed it by that point is embarrassing because it decided a finals match in 2015. And for them to walk out after that game and say, oh, how could we have predicted that happening? That's rubbish because it happened in a finals match 4 years earlier and they did nothing about it then. What was it, 2014?
It was 2014. It was 2014.
You know,
it was
the
that Bulldogs, it was that Bulldogs Manly one.
Yeah.
And the ball hit the ref.
Referee. Josh Reynolds kicks it, hits the ref.
Kicks it, but the Bulldogs kept possession because they were.
That's a terrible rule because
under the NRL's definitions, they had field position.
Well, the problem is with that rule is it's a throwback to the days of the, you know,
unlimited tackle.
Unlimited tackle. So where territory actually mattered more than tackle count and possession, right? Like, sorry, where you were in your tackle count. So territory mattered more than possession. But so for the NRL to have not changed the rule between at any point, but especially between 2015 and 2019, was, I think, an absolute failing on their behalf. And that leads to the Roosters' first try. So for mine, there's two massive black marks against the 2019 grand final, despite I think it being maybe a better game in terms of quality and intensity, but it's just not a better grand final. Mm. 1999 is a great grand final. You got the Blacklock try. You've got Anthony Mundine bombing that try, which...
Oh, my God.
Let's be honest, wins the premiership for the Dragons if he does it. There's also the drama of the Craig Smith try at the end.
Yeah.
But just like the drama in 2019, it decides the game, but it's the right decision.
There's no arguments of any kind.
I was just going to say, that's the interesting contrast, is 99 also has an enormously controversial moment, but instead it's exactly right. Like, it's 100% correct decision. And you touched on some of the other stuff that 99's got, like the Bomb Mundine try and the Nathan Blacklock try. It gets overlooked as having an incredible comeback. Saints were up 14-0.
The OG 14-0 dickhead.
And Melbourne come back into it, but it's not as if they score all the points in a rush. The Dragons score one as well. So Melbourne get
McGregor
two.
McGregor scores one.
Melbourne get two, then the Dragons get one. So it's 18-14. Mm. And then the Craig Smith thing happens in the 77th minute. Like, it's extraordinarily late. And then you throw in like the added stuff of like, it's St. George Illawarra's first season. It's Melbourne's second season. Like, regardless of who wins, we're going to get a crazy result. Saints were massive, massive favorites as well.
Huge.
So it's a huge upset. It's the biggest crowd there will ever be probably at a rugby league match.
Yeah.
That's crazy in Australia, at least. That's crazy to think about. It's the first grand final at Stadium Australia. So it's got another sort of historical element to it. I'm glad you guys made the points about 19 because I didn't want to seem like a sour little bitch, but I think 99 is the clear choice here.
Yeah,
yeah.
And with 99 winning, we'll get the chance to talk about both of them in the coming rounds. So I think we go 99.
Eight first. Feats first.
Yeah,
what you've been time. McIntyred, baby.
What a time! And they said it never happens. They said it's a pointless match. Well, it's not, baby. It's not.
Yeah, well, now we have to talk about the 2006 grand final again. So, great job. Even though it came fifth and lost. Fantastic.
Yeah, say my point.
Great stuff. So, we've got 16 in one prelim
and 15
in another.
Yeah.
And then the week two matchups are
06 against 99.
06 v 99.
And 19 versus 03.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with the easy one. And that's 99 versus 06.
Yeah, well, we already ran through it, didn't we? Although, you know, Brisbane beat one big Melbourne team on the grandest stage of all. Maybe they could do it a second time.
Perhaps they could. Look, we've talked about the 06 game at length in now two rounds, and there is no need to talk about it any further. 99 goes through for me, and we'll save more 99 chat for that prelim.
Yep, agreed.
Anyone? Yep, sweet. All right, that's enough.
Yep.
And we've got 19 up against 03. Now, this is like the best result possible for you, Kemba, because the one you don't want to talk about the most got the one seed, but somehow the draw has fallen, so it's had to play two of the like five best grand finals ever.
If you trust in the McIntyre system, it will reward you.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
the tragedy of 19, and I wrote this in the story that I wrote on the night, is that because of the six again, we don't talk about all the other great things in this match. We don't talk about Brett Morris having an incredible game on the wing and just diffusing every single Canberra kick that came near. And we don't talk about Daniel Tupou having, I like you said before, that Nightingale should have won the Clive Churchill medal as a winger. I think you could have made the exact same case for Tupou in this one, you know, and we don't talk about how, you know, Canberra wear that first punch from the Roosters and things look a bit shaky, but they work their way back into the match. You know, we lose all that stuff. We lose talking about how the Roosters get Cooper Cronk gets sin-binned, but they manage to hang on for the 10 minutes when he's off the field. We don't talk about the enormous courage and resilience and championship qualities that the Roosters showed in winning this game. All that just gets lost. All that gets lost because of a total failure of the way the game should be officiated.
Yep.
You know, so Canberra lose a lot because of that. I'm not saying they would have won the game or whatever, but you know, obviously, you know, they're it's a tough thing to overcome. But I think the Roosters lose a lot of it too. I think a lot of the credit goes away from the Roosters because of that decision. And it was fucking horrible, guys.
Yeah, it was the only thing fitting about this game, and there wasn't much fitting about this game, is that it was won by the Roosters' left edge in the end, albeit in very controversial circumstances. But that left edge of the Roosters in 2019 of Keary, Latrell, and Tupou outside him was an incredible left edge, like an incredible left edge. And Boyd Cordner would have been the second row on that side too. Yeah, so that was, you know, for mine, one of the great edges. And obviously Souths have had some great edges in recent years on their left side as well. But for mine, that Roosters left edge is all time. The back three they were able to put out through that period was also all time. Mm. So like there's a, they're their first team in, what, well, depends how you count it, but the first team in 25 years in the NRL era in a unified competition, as we used to always put it, to win back-to-back grand finals. Like, there's a lot to actually applaud for that Roosters.
I think this is the best of the three Roosters premiership teams. I think this is actually the most impressive feat. And it just gets totally overshadowed. So I'm sure Rooster fans don't fucking care. They'd rather win a premiership
of course.
Get a bunch of claps on the back. But
they're not winning
this. The six again took a lot away from Canberra, but it also took something away from the Roosters, and that sucks.
It absolutely did. And the game management was good. The other thing that's forgotten about that game too is like Joey Lalua had a chance to win, or not win it, but put the Raiders 4/6 up.
I disagree with this, and it's possible because I've only seen it
once. Because Joey Lalua is my favourite player.
No, honestly.
It's a tight spot, is it?
Daniel Tupou was so great defensively in this game, and I think for Lalua to get that pass away, he needs Tupou on him. If Tupou's not on him, he'll just slide out and bundle Rapana into touch, which happened a couple of times during the game anyway. So he's got to like get Tupou 100% committed. So I don't think quick hands would have been enough.
No, fair call. I would say that, you're right. Like, it wasn't, I'm not saying that Lalua blew it, but there is...
There was a chance.
There's a chance. Definitely. I'm not saying he's bombed a try. This isn't an empty mundane thing. I'm not saying he's bombed a try.
Yeah.
But there is there's a chance in the corner there. And if he's able to get a miracle pass away that goes forward, backwards along the ground rather than forward, because you know it essentially rolls along the ground out of his hand, but it's a legal pass. It's a pass. It's not like he's knocked on. It's a pass. It's just that he sends it forward along the ground rather than back. But if he was able to pull off a miracle and get that pass away, then all of a sudden it's the Raiders who are up late in the game.
Mm.
Right, because that's 62nd minute or something.
I don't know, Scott.
It's around the hour mark.
Yeah, so like as we keep going back to, it's a real shame that the other things happen in that game, because this is a far better game.
Yeah,
than
I think it loses here anyway to 2003. So
yeah, I mean 2003, I think we're all thinking is every chance of winning this race.
I mean, this is an absolute murderer's row we've got in the final four. We've got 2016 against 1999 and 2015 against 2003.
The McIntyre system works. We've got the four. We
feel
like
any system would have done
it.
All right. Great. So
I guess, but you say any system might have got it, but I guess we'll never know.
We shan't. So 2016 up against 1999. I am going to plant my flag for 2016, but I'm open to arguments. Would anyone like to start?
Well, I'll go first because I'm going 99.
Okay.
So Scott will have the deciding vote, and now we must persuade him.
Please persuade me because I have no idea which one I'm going in.
So I kind of both of these are historical grand finals, right? It's the Sharks' first one and it's Melbourne's first one. But I think for rugby league as a whole, I think 99 has a greater historical significance because of some of those markers that I talked about before. It's the first one in the new stadium. It's the biggest crowd there will ever be at a rugby league match in this country. We talked about the twists and turns of both games, but I think the twists and turns of 99 are a little bit more dramatic and not just contained to a 10-minute period late in the game. I think they continue through the entire match. You know, I think you can make the case that the Nathan Blacklock try is even if Saints go on and win it by 40, that's still on the highlight reel.
What a sick try.
Forever. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that, you know, the Storm come back in and they have the fight back, but then the Dragons look like they've got it. And then it's the final culmination right at the end. And then somehow this brand new team that was stitched together from the corpses of a bunch of Super League teams and failed expansion teams winning a premiership is a remarkable story. It's like a fucking Bad News Bears type story, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And while the Sharks grand final has a lot of those same elements, I think all the elements that are present in 2016 are more visible and more sustained in 99.
So I totally agree with a bunch of the stuff you just said. The only thing I would push back on of all the things you just said was the way that the Storm roster was put together. Yes, it was from the used parts of a bunch of Super League teams. I take that. But it's even at the time was a great team. And with the benefit of hindsight, it is a world-class team. And looking at everything that the Storm have done since then, they've never been bad. They've been good from that day till the present day. They've won a bunch of competitions. They've always been dominant. I think their worst ever seasons, they finished like 9th and 10th in like the early 2000s. Like they've never, ever had to suffer for anything. You know who did have to suffer? The Cronulla Sharks and their fan base from 1967 until 2016. Where the best days of their life were losing a couple of grand finals to Manly in the 70s. And other than that, it was just sadness. And the happy days were few and far between. And it was all washed away one day in 2016. You get that iconic photo of Paul Gallen and Andrew Ettinghausen crying together, which
That's the most I've ever liked the Sharks.
They're totally, totally fair. You have, in my opinion, Andrew Fifita, who right up there with Luke Prittis as the best a player has ever played in the grand final. The Blacklock try is iconic. It's a totally different type of try, but the Andrew Fifita try is iconic as well. And on top of that, it was knocking off the Storm, the Melbourne Storm, who obviously the following year in 2017 go on to win the premiership and have possibly the best season we've ever had in the NRL in 2017. So there's all those things going in Cronulla's favour. But the other thing is that whilst Melbourne came from nowhere and they built this team, Cronulla had a couple of near misses in the, like even in 99, Cronulla finished minor premiers. They were supposed to be, that they got knocked off by the Dragons the week prior. They were always kind of up there in those 2000s, but they were never hitting the heights. They had that weird year in 2008 when they made the prelim
and get beat by
and get
Melbourne.
Absolutely dusted by Melbourne. But they leave all of that behind on this day in 2016 where, for one day, they were better than the Melbourne Storm. And you can talk about the Storm bombed a couple of late opportunities to win the game, and I absolutely agree that they did. You watch it back, and yeah, they could have scored a couple of times at the end, but they didn't. And Andrew Fifita did. And with everything that game meant to a fan base that had spent, there were generations of Sharks fans that had never experienced the happiness that they experienced on this day. The Melbourne Storm were a year and a half old at this point.
This Sharks one means more to Sharks people.
Yeah.
I think 99 means more to rugby league as a whole.
But I'm a rugby league person.
No,
but
you're a Sharks fan.
Okay. I mean, I know we like to joke, but I'm not. I'm a South fan. But as a fan of a club who's was as long-suffering as they were, I think it does mean a little bit more rather than to an expansion franchise
to
that
them,
had a year
them,
of footy.
Though, to
but
them,
I think
not to
no,
everybody.
But Well, I'm not a Sharks fan, and I'm telling you that it means more to me than it does, than 99 does to me personally. If you disagree, that's totally fine. That's what we're here to do. We're trying to convince Scott that one way or the other. But I'm saying, when they're both amazing games, they both seesaw, they both come down to the death. But I think that emotional edge pushes 16 over the top for me.
All right, Scott, make your decision.
Bloody hell. I'm probably no closer to the decision than I was 10 minutes ago. Both made very good arguments.
Old fence sitting, Bailey.
No, I think they're both incredibly good games. And I like, you can make it, you have both rightfully made an argument that they're in the top two or three, four grand finals of the NRL era. The one thing I think leans me in the direction of one grand final over the other, I'll build the suspense, is I think that in one grand final, there's a point where you think one team has won and you are pretty confident they're going to win. As it turns out, they don't win the grand final because they get mowed down. And that maybe makes it better. But in the other grand final, and obviously I'm talking about 99 where the team gets mowed down, in 2016, there's no point in the game where you can be real confident that, or you know, even be swayed that the game is over. It's sort of, I know Milt Cronulla are better in the first half, but like it sort of seesaws. They both seesaw, but it's kind of closer margins as it seesaws in 2016. So I think it's 2016 based on that. And I think it's 2016 based on the fact that
Bungard, you can't see him now. Bungard's now pumping his fist because he's a Sharks fan. His team's going through. That's great. I'm glad he's happy.
Literally after the siren, or on the siren of that, the game goes, Melbourne is still
got
the ball.
That's true. That's the only grand final that goes siren, after the siren.
So literally after the siren in the grand final, the game is still alive and the premiership is undecided. And it's so rare that we get that where a team is still meters away from winning a premiership after the full-time siren goes. And to be honest, I could be wrong because I haven't watched the last two or three minutes. Like everyone's memory of 1999 kind of cuts out when they kick the penalty.
That's true, actually.
So, look, I could wake up tomorrow. I could, in half hour, watch a replay of the 99 grand final and go, Scott Bailey, you effing idiot. Like, that was...
Does anything notable happen after the Smith Dry Campo?
Yeah, so the Storm have one set and they're playing the ball so slowly that Bill Harrigan calls time off and says, guys, if you keep doing this, I'll penalize you for wasting time. And then the Dragons have, I think the Dragons have one set that goes nowhere. Then the Storm get through like three tackles and Kamali puts a little grubber in for himself for no reason. Yes. And Patton kicks it up, hoofs it down.
Game field, and then the management.
Yeah. And then the Storm clean it up and then it's over. Scott, I take your point about the game being closer all the way through in 16, but I actually think because the swings are more extreme in 99.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I could wake up tomorrow morning and think, you know what? Shit. Like,
well, look, honestly, any of the final four in this conference, I would have been happy to be the representative.
Yeah.
All of them are fantastic games.
I'm marginally waving through 16 based on the fact I say because it's close, but it's more that after the full-time siren goes, there is still a legitimate chance that the other team is winning a premiership. And as I've gone back to a few times in this, my number one determining factor is, how long do I believe both teams have a chance of winning the game for? And 16 is arguably I guess we've had a golden point grand final, so we're going to get to it in a second, but 16 is arguably, you know, the only one that it's a legitimate 50-50 chance after the siren.
So that's one prelim down, one to go. And this is an absolute barn burner, boys. I think if anyone was doing their list of top grand finals, either 2015 or 2003 would be a worthy number one on that list. And it is now our job to pick between these two, Campo.
Yeah, so this is our first chance to talk about 2015 because we sort of it had the pretty easy run through the finals thus far. I think if you polled the layman, like Joe Sixpack on the street, he would say 2015 is the best grand final. Like this was the preseason favorite. Although Bungard, you mentioned something that I think is becoming a little bit more common. I think this game is now characterized by a certain kind of rugby league person as being a great finish, but just an average game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true. I think it's got that incredible sort of hot run in the first half where Brisbane score and then the Cowboys score two tries almost immediately afterwards. And it's really sort of high octane stuff. And then Brizzy get another one before half time. And then the second half is just a test of Brisbane's resilience, like their defensive resolve. The Cowboys have so much footy and they throw so much at the Broncos and they look like they're going to score three or four times. Kane Linnett has one of the all-time bombed grand final tries that like no one remembers because of what happened next. So I think even if what happens in the last 2 minutes and extra time, even if none of that happens, this is still a pretty good grand final.
Mm.
I think people now underrate the rest of the match because the ending was so incredible. And this is the most incredible finish to a grand final that will probably ever happen. It's hard to see it ever going down like anything like this again.
Yeah, I second almost everything that Campo just said there. I reckon it's become weirdly cool in the last year or two, or last couple of years, let's say, to think that this wasn't a good grand final.
As much as you can say debating about the quality of rugby league grand finals can be cool.
It is cool. That's why we're doing it. But now, do you know what I mean? Like, it's become...
No, this, I do. I do. I agree with you.
It's become this, like, in thing to be like, oh, nah, it was a good finish. It was a shit game. That's not true. It was not a shit game. The first half is a proper good game of, like, is proper good footy. You mentioned there, like, the high octane start. Like, it's a Broncos long range try that's kind of forgotten about, but that's a really good grand final try. I love the try off the scrum. I'm a big fan of a try off the scrum. And I like, is it, who scores? Is it, I've got a mental, is it Winterstein? No.
O'Neill.
Yep. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. I love that try from the Cowboys. Like, I love just a scrum play try. As you mentioned, you got the Kane Linnett thing, but like, the first 40 minutes is proper good grand final, and then yeah, like it's kind of weirdly become remembered for the game that it was between, say, like the 45th, 50th minute, or let's say 40, you know, half start of the second half to say the 70th minute, where like you say, Campo, like it was kind of desperate football from the Broncos trying to hold on, and then the Broncos get too caught up in trying to play out, you know, hold on for a win, you know, a la what just happened a month or two ago, but like 20 or 30 minutes of desperation, which is still good footy. Cause like, as I've come back to numerous times in these two podcasts, I love a game where like the grand final, where the premiership can be decided any minute. It's still like, really engrossing footy in that 20 or 30 minutes because of its high stakes. And then you've got the finish, like also often forgotten, probably not by Broncos fans, but by a lot of other people, is that, like, with a minute to go, the Broncos make a line break. They're
Anthony Milford is in the clear.
He's in the clear. Like, it's a bit like you guys referred to it in the Raiders-Newcastle finals match where it all went wrong. Like, remember the Raiders make the line break and all of a sudden, was it – who make – someone makes – is it the
– I think you're referring to the Raiders-Sharks game where the Raiders went from – go from – a long range bust and nearly scoring to having a player sent off.
That's right. Yes.
Within about 30 seconds.
And this is kind of like the same kind of thing, if you know what I'm saying here, right? Like, Milford is literally in the clear. The Broncos are up by four in a grand final, 1 minute to go. And somehow the Broncos lose that grand final. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And then the thing that I love most about this game, I mean, obviously everyone loves the, except for Broncos fans, loves the finish and the last, you know, the Kyle Felt try. What I absolutely love most about this game is the composure of Jonathan Thurston to not kick the ball on the last tackle. Because I've been on this rant before, I don't know if it's been on this podcast, but I've definitely said it to you, Campo. Like, I hate how teams get desperate and they just kick, like, on the siren. It's like, you kick, they got players back there, they'll defuse it. As soon as they touch the ball, the game's over. Thurston takes the ball on the bounce. So, like, it's a bad pass, takes on the bounce, literally, like, runs around in circles two or three times, but doesn't think, oh, I'll just play the Hail Mary playing a kick. He still runs it and then gets it off to to Michael Morgan, who's then able to find a gap. But I always think there's so much of a better chance of finding a gap in frantic situations than kicking. But it's so, so rare that a player is able to hold their nerve and not panic. And obviously, we're talking about one of the greatest of all time here in Jonathan Thurston. But for me, that play, there's so much more to that play than just, oh, Kyle Felt gets down the corner. I think there's so much to what Jonathan Thurston does. And the way he kept us popping up in desperate moments in the second half, like, he takes a kick when, Hunt or Milford puts a kick in on the attack, and Thurston's the guy who rushes back effectively in the fullback position to clean it up and regain possession for the Cowboys. Like, there's there's so much about this game that's more than just Kyle Phillips scoring a try that everyone kind of just remembers it for.
Yeah. Plus, it's got all those things that Bungard was talking about. Well, not maybe not as much, but a lot of that stuff about the Cronulla Grand Final in 16, it's a similar story here. You know, it's the first premiership. You can only do it for the first time once. Cowboys had been so shit for their first 10 years in the league, essentially, and their 10 years from 05 to 15 wasn't exactly a picnic either. You know, you could see how much it meant to not just the team and not just the town, but to an entire region afterwards when they have the big trophy tour.
It's a really good point.
All around the place. You know, and yeah, and yeah, went a long way to getting the stadium built. And I think in terms of like legacy, in terms of the go-to example for the best grand final ever, like this is the big daddy. This is the working man's pick.
I think there's not a single player that's more defined by one game than Thurston is by this one. Because if he doesn't win this game, I mean, see, I understand he won a premiership with the Dogs in 04, but let's be real. Like, without this game, he goes up to the Cowboys, and many people consider him to be the best player of the NRL era, and he'd have no titles to show for it. But he got this one, and it was on his boot that they won it. I wonder if because the last 5 minutes were so crazy and so at a level of not just skill, but improbability and implausibility that we've never seen before, that maybe that's why people think that the rest of the game wasn't good, because we're so, like, the window has shifted so far to one side where it's at the absolute extreme of what we can expect from a rugby league match, that an otherwise very above average game seems bad by comparison when you compare it to the incredible stuff that we saw at the end. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why people say things like that, because I don't think it's a bad game by any means. I definitely think there are periods in the second half where it does lull a little bit, but yeah, it's overall still a pretty high quality game from start to finish. But so it's 2003.
So I think the first half of this game is quite comparable to 2003 in terms of quality, but 2003 doesn't have the rocket fuel that this game has in terms of the finish. You know, it's got the Scott Sattler tackle, and you can put that up there with everything that happened at the end of this game, but then that's still just one moment against many, you know? So while 03 is a superb grand final, any other day it could have made it through to the to contest the McIntyre Cup against 2021, I think this time it's just run into a bit of a colossus.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, even if they're level in terms of quality, I think the big moments push 15 over the top.
I've been thinking about this for a while since we knew these two were matching up, or had a fair idea these two might match up, and I sort of think 2003, you can make the case that it's a better game. Like, I actually think 2003 is the best match played in a grand final, as in quality of match, and there's physicality early on. Like, Penrith struggled to get out there and in goal in the first tackle of the game. There's obviously the Sattler moment. There's also another moment in the second half where the Roosters bust down that same left edge again, and Penrith scramble for a couple of tackles in a row. Like, there's so much I love about that 03 game, and I could make the argument that it is the best game played in a grand final.
Yeah.
In the NRL era. But is there a difference between that and the best grand final? Because as I've said a number of times in these two podcasts, I think the grand final is more than just the quality of the game, but it's how long it keeps you believing that both teams can win. It comes down to the last play. It's the storyline, you know, as we said, the Cowboys going for their first premiership. So it sounds like a really bizarre thing to say, but
The quality of play is only one.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think the best game is necessarily the best grand final. The best game is has to be very close to the best grand final.
Yeah.
But there's a world where the best grand final is not as good of a game as the best game played in the grand final.
You can say that Luke Pritis played better than any player in that 2015 game, and you can say that the overall quality for 80 minutes was better, but it didn't have the drama of 2015. And at the end of the day, the most important thing about a grand final is how people are entertained by it and how it goes on to live in people's brains. And whilst I still love this game, it might be my personal favorite to watch, 2014 aside, but I think that even though I've in the past been guilty of saying that I thought this game is a better game than 2015, I think in terms of the grand final spectacle and the fact that Brisbane's drought has remained till this day, I think it's got to be 2015.
I loved in 2015 as well how there was that sense that Queensland came to Sydney for the week. You'll remember that really well, Scotty, but like both teams got down here on like the Monday or the Tuesday, and there was a real vibe around the city. And we talked way, way back when we were so much younger, about how 06 it had the two non-Sydney teams and there wasn't quite the same vibe. And in 17 it was a little bit the same, but in 15 there was. I think I felt like there was a genuine buzz around the city because those two teams come in. And I think that's a big part of it as well. Mm. One more thing on 03, which I've been meaning to bring up, but I just hadn't got to at this point. You know what people forget about the Sattler tackle? So Sattler makes the tackle. Penrith drop it two plays later off the scrum. So, like, they hold him out. So, you know, the legend stays alive. they put themselves straight back under pressure after poor old Sats has fucking busted his ass to get over there and drag down Todd Byrne.
That's quite funny.
Good point. Good point.
Scott, I got a mini slow your brain for you before we move on to the final. Okay. Which four players in the 03 grand final from Penrith's team went on to win a premiership elsewhere?
Joe Nelaval.
One. Come on. Can't have dead air.
I know. Okay, Joe Nelaval. I'm trying to remember it.
You want an assist, Scott?
Oh, no.
I always forget where the Sats played.
Scott Sattler is not one of them.
No, you always think he went to the Tigers and therefore, but he
played one year.
There's one that you absolutely should get, and if you don't, I'll be so disappointed in you.
Hang on. No, I was about to say.
Oh, no.
I'm not in trivia mode. Okay. So obviously Joe Nelaval.
Correct.
There's Luke Lewis.
Two.
Yeah.
There is
two more. Do you know both, Campo?
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Nelaval, Luke Lewis. There. Let's go through that. No. Oh, Pritis, because he's saying beforehand or after?
No. After.
Okay. Damn. Oh no. The hand. Go. Take it.
One Campo? Of them was at Manly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. That's why it's annoying.
Shane Rodney.
I did too.
Oh, yes. And then the other one was at West, Paul Fatawira.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good work, Scott.
It's all right. He's just warming up for next year's sleep, Brad. It's fine. But we are off to the grand final of the Campton Conference. And it's two grand finals that only took place 12 months apart. What a blessed time for rugby league. 2015 against 2016.
Yeah. What a blessed time before the Storm, Panthers, and Roosters won the next seven titles between them.
Yeah, kind of ruined everything, didn't it? But here we are. Two worthy finalists, two fantastic games in a lot of different ways. But there can only be one. Who would like to start us off?
Well, I think we've kind of made the case. Mm. I think the case for the winner is quite clear because I think we've made it over the course of this discussion. I think 15 and 16... are very similar as matches, and they both have remarkable finishes, but 15's is more remarkable, and it stretches a little bit longer. Like, the 16 equivalent would be either the Storm scoring on one of those last desperate plays, or the game somehow going to extra time, and then the Sharks getting up. You know, I think, like, it's like how 15 beat 03. 15 just has supercharged qualities that 16 cannot match.
It's true.
I think it says a bit about what we spoke earlier about 16 kind of being a bit underrated in some sense. And I think the reason that 16 is underrated is because it came in the year after 2015.
I think that's true, yeah.
So that's the case. Just on that alone, that says that 2015 has to be a better grand final. Because if 15 was the one that was sort of forgotten about a bit, then clearly it'd be because 16 was better. I know that's public
opinion. No. I think it is that simple. I do. And we've talked about both of these games at length over the course of this show. And as much as I always go to bat for 2016, I think it does get forgotten about a little bit.
Yeah.
And I maintain Andrew Fifita, top 3 to 5 grand final performance of all time. I think the storyline, the emotion of the Sharks winning, all that stuff is great. But you guys are right. 2015 is the end of that game, it's going to be tough to ever top it.
I know as a Sharks fan, that really hurt you. So I respect your integrity.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think we're advancing 2015 off to the McIntyre Bowl.
We're about to test his integrity again in a minute then.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've made it. The Super Bowl of McIntyre systems.
Yeah. 2015 against 2021. I wish Mitch was here so we could cry together. God. Two heartbreaking games for our respective teams, but two fantastic games of rugby league. 2021 coming out of, I would say, the softer Bailey Conference. I think that just the way the random number generator threw all the games up, I think, honestly, without spoiling which of these games I'm going to pick, I might have picked three, if not four, games from the Campton Conference over 2021.
Yeah, man, like the Campton Conference just produces killers, bro. Forged in fire in the crucible of the McIntyre system.
Like, I 2021 is a fantastic game, which I'll never watch again. But I think it's a clear winner here.
You think 21 beats 15?
No. I was going to say it's very NRL finals-esque that we get an absolutely cracking prelim final. I know they weren't prelim finals, but you know what I mean. Like the prelim final
conference finals.
Yeah, but it is almost the prelim finals in the conference finals, if you know what I'm saying. Because I think the best matchup we've had will be 2015 v 2003. Like that was the.
I would have picked either of those games.
Do you think 2015 can recover quickly enough to take on 2021? Do you think beating 03 was too difficult?
It's like that Cowboys Broncos game in 2016 where the Cowboys were too beaten up to go with the Sharks the next week.
I was going to go with Newcastle Manly 2006 when they were both absolute cactus the next week and got pumped by Melbourne and the Dragons, wasn't it?
Both fine choices, boys.
Yeah.
both apt analogies.
But, 21's a great game. It's got great moments, but there's Penrith fans who might not even say that's their favorite grand final in the last 3 years.
Yeah. It might be because it was the first.
It might be because they hate Parramatta, so they would have lost massively.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, if it was third,
23 had a better finish. Yeah.
I also wouldn't be surprised.
They could also go to 2022. They couldn't go. Like,
that's a really good point.
That's another great
caveat here is that one of these was played at a sold out stadium and the other one was played in front of 30 odd thousand or something.
21's always got a weird spot for me because
like, you're the only one that you wouldn't have been to, Scotty.
I know I've been lucky that a lot of that's been with work, but even before that, from like 04 to 13, we went to every game, every grand final. So like I've always been to grand finals with the exception of 21. So 21's got a weird kind of spot where I find it hard to. I remember it really well. I worked, I covered it, I have watched it back multiple times, but it just doesn't sit in the same mind, like headspace as me as grand finals as every other one that I've been to. Because you go to a game, you kind of have two memories of it, right? You have the game that you were at, then you have the game that you've watched back a stack of times when it's a great game. But like the 21 one doesn't, I don't have those memories. But yeah. I think,
well, to draw the point a little bit, the listeners would have heard our post grand final show from last month, and we talked a lot about the game and all that, but we also talked a lot about the experience
being there
of the day and being there, and that's a really big part of the whole grand finality of it all, you know.
Yeah, sitting in this exact chair I'm in now while my wife was already asleep and trying to like file while not being at the ground is a very different experience to sitting in a packed stadium.
Counterpoint, in 2015, I watched the game at 5 a.m. on a dodgy stream in a hotel room in America. So,
there we go.
That's the occasion for me.
That's how Daily Messenger wanted it to be.
Exactly right.
I think the rhythms of 2021 are actually not dissimilar to 2016. You know, a hard-fought, tightly contested match throughout that then sort of gets blown open by a series of big plays in the closing stages. But as with 16, the plays just aren't as big. They aren't as insane as 15 was. For 21 to win, Reynolds had to kick that goal.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
and we had to get off the edge of the mat and see what happened once we got out there. You know,
yeah, Reynolds kicking that goal is, well, I mean, Thurston misses the goal, doesn't he? But it's, you know, that's. If Reynolds kicks the goal, it's almost not the same, but it's getting towards Kyle Felt scoring that try level.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it kind of goes back to what I said.
Or if he'd hit that 2-point field goal too.
Well, the thing is, so after the score, the try to make it 14-12 and they miss the kick, Cam Murray makes that break. Cam Murray makes that break, if you remember. And he's got David Cook in support. If they're tied there, they settle and Reynolds probably pots over a 20-yard field goal and they win the game. That's probably what happens. So there's just so much riding on that kick, and it sucks for me and for Souths fans and for those players that didn't go over, but that's life, I guess.
I think it goes back to as well, this debate is like, not that we're really having a debate here, but we're justifying our response, aren't we?
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back to what I said a minute ago about, like, there's an argument that the 2021 grand final is a better game of football, or at least a better quality game of football than 2015. I'd have to think more about it to decide where I stand on that, but it's certainly on par, right? But again, the finish is what gets it for 2015.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I is it unanimous?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. If you asked someone before we got going, what's the best grand final of the NRL era apart from 2023? They all would have said 15.
We did it.
But we've proven them right. And the it's important to show your work.
So we throw do we throw the spanner in the works and say, if we have this discussion in 3 years' time, it's interesting to see whether
it'll be interesting to see. Well, it also kind of a little bit depends on what Penrith do next, right?
I actually think it depends on what Brisbane do next.
Mm-hmm.
Because say, I don't think this will happen, but say the arse falls out of Brisbane and they never get this close again or anything like that. Then it's like right back at the start when we're talking about the Eels and the Knights, there is an abiding element of tragedy that would change the story in a big, big way. If Brisbane win the comp next year, which I think they're totally capable of doing, then 2023 is still a wonderful game and an incredible finish and a crazy comeback and all that. But it loses that element of tragedy, because Brisbane will find that redemption.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it really depends on what happens to Brisbane next, more so than Penrith.
Because it's like that 2015 crop of Broncos with guys like Milford and Ben Hunt, those guys, they never got back there.
They never got the shot again, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, if you're, I think in the immediate aftermath of 2023, like, I think actually the three of us are standing in the bowels of Acol Stadium. We literally had this discussion. Was that better?
We did. Yeah.
The three of us did. And I think we all landed on the answer is yes. But in the aftermath of 2015, if you'd had the discussion in the month or two that followed that game, I think everyone, I mean, I remember writing the next day, like doing the list of the greatest grand finals. And I think we were all talking about, is that better than 1989? Right. And I don't know what the correct answer to that is in the end. But the point being that, like, in the month or two, or the minutes, hours, months later, you're always going to put a game at the highest level. But like you say, once you have the context of what happens next and just sort of settles in your mind a little bit, then it kind of,
So it's as Campo said back at the start of the prior episode, like, it's a totally worthwhile discussion to have in a few years' time about 15 versus 23. But a lot of that will just depend on what happens next.
You know what the best grand final is?
Books.
Next one.
Ah.
Okay. And also books.
All right, books. Good. Just checking.
I feel sorry for those people who don't read books.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, did you watch the 2023 grand final? I was too busy sitting there in my press box seat reading Trotsky. So didn't see a second of rugby league.
I was too busy thinking about the opera.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We did it, boys. We did it.
We made it.
I'm proud of you.
Well done.
I'm proud of myself for not crying during the chat about Adam Reynolds missing the conversion.
Well, there you go. So we got two things in the Boom Rookies Hall of Fame now. We've got Shooter McGavin and we got the 2015 grand final.
That's right.
That's a good afternoon. Happy Gilmore into the grand final. That's good stuff.
I watched Dodgeball again yesterday. It'd been a while, been a minute.
Does it hold up?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It's still got it. A
couple of jokes probably couldn't get away with today, but by and large, yeah.
Yeah, there's parts of it that I'm pretty sure you couldn't.
But chucking wrenches at dudes' heads, hilarious.
Oh, that's your hold.
So it was. Because
before we knew about CTE, so
it's true. It's true. Before the concussion movie came out, we're fine. All right. Before we get out of here, quick thank you to people in the top two tiers on our Patreon subscription service. Go to patreon.com/urbanrookies to get an extra show every week, merchandise, skits, sounds, entry into next year's Coltrane Cup, access to our Discord server, and plenty more. And Scott will let you write the lead on a match report of your choosing in 2024.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Thank you to Chris Abnell, Dave, Rocky and Rafi, Stu, Wayne of the Old Coot, Alex Jacomi. Oh, $20. I wanted a peanut. Bertrand's eyes are not red and green. They are the pink of a rabbit in a spotlight. Broncos legend Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pom, Butsy, Chewbacca Snuffleupagus, Dan Cullinane, Doc Hogg, an anonymous backer, Ed Burton. Hi, I'm Mitt Bertrand, and I have redacted how to speak San Franciscan. I also went to school with Bungard. I was saying Buerns. I'm called Little Buttercup, poor Little Buttercup, though I could never tell why. I, Matt Bunga, could not be happier for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I've got a blank space in my fantasy team, and I'll write your name. Jason, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Brandon, kicks outside of the comp. Lachlan Hancock, lifelong Dolphins fan, Luke Charles Midmore, Mads, Taylor's version, Matthew Duggan, Michael, the climax to a supreme game of rugby league. El Masri trailing by one to win it. He's got it away. It has got there. Murray, Morgan Watkins, my name is Nick Campton, and rugby union is my favorite type of rugby. My ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad, never trendy. Origin monster to club monster, form line rule. Commission. Reese Brown, Rodrigo, La Flama Blanca, Eduardo, Roxanne Clark, see you in Vegas, Shunta, Ty, the Black Vegetable, the Off-Season Blues. The outro music is a vibe on 1.75 times speed. These white slippers are albino, African, and Dejerano. Thor, Tom Hardy was. We are now from shout out Sarah in the lower tiers and everybody listens. All listeners, please send $5 of your Australian dollars to at @BeMattBungard on twitter.com and Westlife Podcast and the Pasco Fiasco. Thank you so much for your support to everyone in the lower tiers and everyone who listens. Thank you as well.
We did it.
Wow.
We made it.
Yeah. That was fun. What a fun exercise. And if you've got a showdown you want us to do, get in touch. We might do it. I don't know. We might not, but it could be a good idea. You never know.
We'll do it if it's a good idea, but if it's not, then we won't.
And we'll mock you mercilessly. All right. Scott, anything else to plug apart from read AAP for all your cricket and rugby league needs?
Always read AAP. Trusted, reliable. Something else. I can't remember what the slogan is.
I've asked you before, but what's your favorite random a regional website in bumfuck nowhere that takes AAP copy? Because I love when George Clark shares his stories and they're from like the Cowra Gazette or some shit. It's fantastic.
I think the West Australian always looks the best, but you usually get like some people being like, why would we trust the West Australian on whether Nathan Cleary's playing this weekend?
Proud which Perth man, Scott Bailey.
Fair point, but I would say the Queenslander, the paper or whatever it is.
Wait, it's just called the Queenslander.
Yeah, and I get a lot of messages.
Is Billy Moore the editor?
Possibly. I get a lot of messages.
Perhaps the editor at large.
Just being like
the editor at large of the Queenslander.
Why would you lend your name to a Queenslander thing? And I'm like, yeah, it's a fair point. But here we are.
Alan Lang is the art director.
Of course he is. All right. Say goodbye, Scott.
Goodbye, Scott.
Say goodbye, Campo.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
That's goodbye from me.